And welcome back to another episode of the Wire Fantasy Football Podcast. Tyler, how you doing, man?
All right. What's going on, guys? We're back. We're going to break down week 10. I'll give you our waiver wire ads. Let's jump into it.
Yeah. It's the Wire. D. Griffin. This the Wire, serving up a hot take. Around the league, serving gems like a hot plate. Who's the flex? First pick, rounds 4-8. Trading with the base, that Superman, we need a cape. This that fantasy, see who get the glory. Who's gonna stay up in they lane talking Tory? Who gonna ride up on the train with a hype at? Yeah, you wanna start them, but matches, you might not like that. Three tutties next week, man, he's double covered. Takes on 100 coming out the oven. Tim and Todd, they the guys, know you gotta love them. Take your pick, do it quick, they on fire. The Wire.
All right, Tim, just you and me today. How you feel about that?
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah, that's it. Not excited, nothing. Yeah, go back to the roots right now.
Huh?
We're going back to the roots right now.
Yeah. Born.
Jesus, is my company that bad?
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't choose anybody else to do a one-on-one podcast with.
Oh, you're so sweet. Oh, man. So, what a weird week again.
Yeah.
Great game this week, though, with Arizona and the Bills.
Arizona's always fun to watch this year, huh?
Oh, my God. Kyler is unreal. Can we say that?
I have something to say about that play.
Okay.
It's been something that's been biting me for years. Stop giving credit to the quarterback.
Oh,
Kyler
yeah.
Murray did nothing.
No.
Aaron Rodgers did nothing on those
Hail
Mary
plays. There was nothing there.
All they do is toss the ball up in the air and hope something happens. It's all on the wide receiver. And 100%. That was all DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes.
You know, when the ball gets tipped and it falls into someone else's hands, stop giving all the credit. Wow, what a great play by Aaron Rodgers. What a great play by Kyler Murray. He tossed the ball into triple coverage and a man grabbed it away from three other men.
Yeah.
That's all that happened. That's all DeAndre Hopkins. And did you hear he wears 6XL gloves?
I did not hear that.
6XL is what I heard. And when I saw the picture of the Jumpman logo on his gloves,
yeah,
his fingers were bigger than the other guy's hands.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. But that's why he never drops the ball.
That's where I was.
But stop giving credit to the quarterback. It's bullshit. You got to give Kyle a
little bit of credit there.
None.
I mean, he made that first guy miss, rolled out, created some extra time.
Every quarterback does that. I don't
want to
hear
No.
Everybody
no.
But
Kyler's
Mitch
different
Trubisky
with that.
The only person that can't do that is Mitchell Trubisky.
Kyler's different.
He absolutely is.
Kyler's
but that
different.
Play is all DeAndre Hopkins. He deserves 100% of the credit.
I don't know. I'm going to give a little bit to Kyler.
No, none.
We're going to represent for the boy.
Well, boy. Not boys. We have no emotional ties to this man whatsoever.
No, not really. But it was fun to watch.
It was. No, it absolutely is.
But
as far as waiver ads, let's jump right into it. I know that, you know, so you've been trying to talk everybody into Jacoby Myers for weeks now. And it's officially the time to do it.
It's
the reason why is because he played high school quarterback and he's in the New England Patriots.
Yep.
So he's forever going to be a New England Patriot. Edelman and all every as long as you played what quarterback at one point and you're a wide receiver on the Patriots, you're a Patriot for life.
Pretty much. I was dying. I've been going on about him for what? 2 weeks now? I've been in on the Myers train.
Yeah.
And I was curled over laughing when I ever saw your text in the group message. Oh, you didn't tell me he was a quarterback. It's Myers season.
A quarterback, it'd be different. I would have bought him 3 weeks ago.
Oh, I was dying. That was so great. But outside the fact that he's been a quarterback, he's kind of hard to ignore. You have to give me that.
No, yeah, he's been good. But the only thing is it only because of necessity? Because there's no Edelman, there's no other drafted wide receiver on the team, and it's just either a running back or, I mean, after saying Jacoby Myers is the most talented receiving threat on that team is one thing. The next guy is probably Ryan Izzo.
That's
with N'Keal Harry out and Julian Edelman out. I mean,
but I think
Burkhead is our best wide receiver at this point.
White. I would say White.
Yeah, but he hasn't had more than 15 yards all year.
No, but we know that he can catch the ball. Yeah. The thing with that is that I think we all agree that Jules is done. Is that fair to say?
Jules has looked horrible. In a New England Patriots uniform.
Yeah, Jules has looked horrible. Harry, I think we both agree that Harry looks like a bust.
Yep. Because he's not a wide receiver.
Right, and he doesn't create any separation. So, out of necessity or not, for the foreseeable future, Myers is the guy.
Yeah, until week one of next year, yeah.
Maybe. I think even then he still has a role.
Yeah, it's going to be limited. Yeah, I don't see him being... He's not going to be this his entire career. Yeah,
no, probably not, but...
Between the way the offense is run and his abilities, his talent-wise.
It's tough to say what he'll be next year, but right now he looks like a stud.
Yeah, in redraft, if he's still available in your league, pick him up.
100%. 100%. I'm all in on him, redraft. Not sure how I feel about him in Dynasty yet, but I'm excited about him. I don't even know what else to say about him. He's just been phenomenal. He's like in the top 10 for targets in the last like 3 weeks or something like
all
that.
All right, all right. Relax. Stupid. Relax. Jeez.
The numbers were stupid.
Feel your blood pressure raising.
The numbers were stupid.
Yeah, he's been good. All right, next. let's stay in New England.
All right. So Damian Harris. We got to talk about him. He's somebody that, I don't know, I'm torn on him too. As a New England fan, I love him.
Every 12 carries, he's banged up.
Right. That's one thing. And then it's just like, but he's that physical back that I just didn't seem like Sony had that in him. And maybe it's just because we haven't seen him.
He wasn't touched until he was 10 yards downfield on all the big runs.
No, and it's not even the big runs. It's the little runs that impress me. That he's coming in and he just looks more aggressive than Sony ever did. And that's what makes me think that he might be a better fit at this point.
I think that I can get behind. As far as talent wise, he's right there, if not a little bit below Sony Michel, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The reason why is I think that the coaching staff in New England has gotten in Sony's head.
You've been saying that for a long time.
And right? I think that their, you know, get three, get down, don't make any negative plays thing has really gotten to his head. And he's like, I just need to hit, I need to make sure I get the three. I need to make sure I don't fumble. I can't make the move in the backfield and lose 2 yards.
Right. Well, we've seen Sony before he got hurt. He had that monster game that looked very similar to what Harris is doing.
Right. He went 9 rushes for like 117 yards against Oakland.
Right. So the potential's there.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of, I don't know. I just feel like
I feel comfortable with both of them going forward as a Patriots fan. But as far as Dynasty's concerned, temper your expectations long term on Damian.
Yeah. I don't think that either one of them long term are going to be a solution for anybody to anything more than maybe an RB3. It's just one of those things that it's just tough to say, but they could end up being an interesting 1-2 punch, kind of like Chubb and Hunt kind of got going on.
Yeah,
but I don't know if they'll ever get that volume. But
yeah, well, they're never going to get the passing work that they, you know, but
you could see a kind of a similar hand there, especially with Burkhead getting older, and same thing with White, they're both getting older, so it could be interesting there.
Yep, I agree. Let's jump into Logan Thomas.
So this is a guy that's been up and down all year. The last 2 games with Smith, he's had 6 targets a game, which obviously from the tight end you love. This week he caught 4 of those for 66 yards. That's great. That's tight end 1 numbers. So I think the leading tight end this week had 13 points. So we're looking at 10 points out of him. So you can't really argue with that. Yeah, if he's there, I think you have to pick him up. You probably don't have better options if you're streaming tight ends right now. But it's one of those things that it's just like there isn't anybody outside of McLaurin that really seems like they're pulling away. We're seeing a good surge out of McKissick right now with all those targets. So I don't know how much really can trust Thomas down the line. I think he might just be a week-to-week guy you still have to pay attention to.
Yeah, I don't see Alex Smith throwing the ball 54 times again.
Right.
The big thing with Alex Smith is he loves the middle.
Right. And that's why I said Thomas is someone that you need to pay attention to. I don't think McKissick's going to be able to keep up those targets, obviously. But I think he's the one that takes the biggest hit.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be getting, you know, 15 targets a game.
No.
But, you know, he'll be in that 7, 8, 9 targets a game range.
That's probably more realistic.
Yeah. And then, you know, McLaurin's going to get his. The thing with that offense is right now, McKissick is the second targeted player on that team,
mm-hmm.
behind obviously Terry McLaurin,
right?
And then Logan Thomas is their third threat.
Yeah.
And I really like Alex Smith on that team, and I think they should give him another shot next year.
I think that is the way they're going to end up going to. Yeah, I think that's going to be their plan. I think we can fair to say that they're done with Haskins, and Kyle Allen was fun, but he's never going to be the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad for Kyle Allen. The injury sucked, obviously.
No, of course.
The big thing with him is he's really not that bad.
No, he's not that bad, but he's never going to be the guy that that's going to take them anywhere. So no, they're never going to.
He's a serviceable NFL quarterback. He's like a Josh McCown.
Yes, he's going to be a career backup. Nick
Foles.
Yeah.
You know, like, no, take the
Super Bowl year
Super
out.
Bowl away from Nick Foles. He's Nick Foles. That's his ceiling.
Yeah.
One good hot year, a couple, you know, average years.
Right. But. So that's tough. The next guy on this, this is a guy that I'm. You kind of got to talk about him because he's had two solid weeks with Smith, Cam Smith. I'm not touching him. Cam Sims, yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
Cam
I'm out on Sims.
I'm not touching him.
I don't want
him.
The fourth wideout on Washington.
No, he's emerged a little bit here with Smith, but I just don't know how well he's going to be able to hold on to this value.
Yeah, with McKissick lining up outside, and then you also have Isaiah Wright. It's just, they're so log jammed after McLaurin and McKissick and Thomas. It just...
They're all questions.
Yeah, I wouldn't spend any fab, any waiver claims. I wouldn't even roster anybody after those guys.
Fair enough. So the next guy I have to give you credit on, you were right about this. Hamler.
Love him. I love his upside going forward. I really do. I think him, Judy, and Sutton next year, regardless of who the quarterback is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. My thing has always been that targets are key, and I can't argue. He went back-to-back weeks with 10 targets. He didn't have as big a game as he did last week. He went 4 for 50 this week, 9 points. But if he's going to be getting 10 targets a game, he should be rostered. There's no way to argue that.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, something I find long-term with them is it could be interesting. I don't think Drew Lock's very good. I think he sucks.
I mean, I think it's fair to say at this point he's not that great.
He sucks.
Yeah.
I'm going to...
He gets hot for a quarter, and then the rest of the game, he's horrible.
No, he sucks. I'm going to petition all offseason for Sam Darnold to go there. All offseason. I want really? Sam Darnold there. That's where I want him. Build the defense in the draft and free agency this year. You have all the pieces around.
That feels like an LA move to do, too.
Sam Darnold's a good football player.
I think so.
As a Patriots fan, Sam Darnold's a good football player.
I can't argue that. That would be interesting, though. That's an Elway move to him to go out and get a quarterback from another team.
He's like 23 years old.
Yeah, he's young. He's definitely young.
He was a
young.
Top 10 pick.
Yeah.
I like Sam Darnold. He's athletic. He can read. He can throw the ball deep. And build up that O-line. You have the running backs there. You have the wide outs. You have two good tight ends who are very athletic. You have Von Miller coming back next year. That I really like Sam Darnold going there next year.
It would be an interesting
Hopefully
fit.
John Elway listens to this and says, okay, fine, I'll trade for him.
We'll send it to him. We'll see what he get. Yeah. If we get any reception back on that. How's that?
Yeah. But, you know, I like Hamler. He's a wide receiver four this year. But as far as dynasty, he's one of those guys. We're going to talk about it on our next episode.
Yeah.
But if you're really hurting, or if you need somebody to fill in the last week or so of bye weeks, I think there's 1 or 2 weeks left. I think it's 2 weeks left. It might be somebody interesting. You could get a touchdown or 100-yard game in the next 2 weeks, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. And the other thing to note here is this week he played 88% of the snaps. That's a big deal. For a guy that really wasn't playing much, he was hurt and then came back in, he's playing almost a full portion of the snaps at this point. So they obviously like him, and they obviously have faith in him at this point.
Yep. And he was banged up to start the year, started slow, but he's really turned it on lately.
For sure.
You know, he has all talent in the world. Remember, he was a second round pick. He's really being overshadowed by Judy and Sutton being there.
Mm.
But I mean, he's been solid. He missed week one. He had a solid week two, and then he got hurt midweek three, got hurt in week four, had the bye week, missed week six. He didn't really have a role week seven. And then since then, he's played over 80% of the snaps. And then he's gone 10, 15, and 9.
Yeah. So.
And he's only 21 years old.
So the outlook is there. He's definitely a guy you want to pay attention to. If you need a late round stash, you need a guy that you can hold on to that might have some upside later on, he's your guy.
Absolutely.
So let's jump into this. So this is where it gets interesting. The nightmare that is the Chargers backfield. So coming into this week, I think we were all kind of, I guess, expecting to see more of Pope. I think that's fair to say.
Troymaine Pope?
Troymaine Pope. With Jackson going to IR, and we still haven't got a real timeline of when Eckler's going to be back, I thought it was going to be Pope.
And Josh Kelly is not.
No, Josh Kelly doesn't seem like he's the answer right now. But I was really high on him coming into the year. And
I think it was more a bias against Eckler than it was for Josh Kelly. I think that's fair to say, too. I think you just didn't want to like Eckler, so you talked yourself into Josh Kelly.
It wasn't that I didn't want to like Eckler. It was just that I just didn't see... Eckler just doesn't have the frame to be that lead back to me, and it just didn't seem to me like... And the Chargers have always been a team that's been a two-running back team, and it just felt like they were going to lean towards that. But obviously, I was wrong from what we saw at the beginning of the year. We'll see what it is going forward, but... Get back to the waiver ads. Kalen Ballage.
Yep. Far as I'm concerned on Ballage, as long as Eckler is out, he's a low-end running back 3.
Is he, though? Because, I mean, he got, 23 touches this week. He had 18 carries for 68 yards, 5 catches for 34 yards for 15 points. That's RB2 numbers. What is there to argue there? I mean... If he's going to be getting that kind of volume, especially with how many people are banged up and bye weeks, he's one of those guys that you really have to consider. And I mean, Herbert's throwing the ball a ton. If he's checking down, and he's involved in every asset right now. He's a guy I would consider picking up for sure if I needed a guy for a bye week.
Yeah, I expect Eckler to be back week 13. He's very close. Week 12, week 13 is probably where he's going to be back.
So that tells me that you have Ballage as an RB2. For the next 3 weeks.
Yep. Yeah. You know, they like the fact that he can just run in between the tackles and fall forward.
And that's fine.
He's nothing special.
No, and he doesn't need to be.
But I think that we were a little blinded by the fact that he sucked on the Dolphins.
I think that's exactly what it was, is that we got blinded by what he was and didn't see his upside from there. But if, like I said, if he's going to get 23 touches a game, sign me up. I'm all in.
Is he Raheem Mostert, but just on a different team? Somebody who's overlooked early in their career, big strong guy who, when he gets going, can fall forward through a tackle.
That's probably a fair comp. Yeah.
You know, if you put Kalen Ballage on the 49ers right now, how do you feel? Running back 2, you know?
Probably, so yeah. Yeah.
My thing is the next couple weeks, and this is going to be a good week for him against the Jets. I think, it's going to be weird because it's either going to be they're going to run the ball a ton, or are they going to throw the ball a ton?
Sure.
Because the rest, their schedule coming up is the Jets, the Bills, the Patriots, Falcons, and then the Raiders.
All fairly easy run teams.
Very, very easy to run against.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, the Buffalo game, the Atlanta game, and the Raider game, it's going to be a lot of Herbert in the air throwing the ball. It's going to be a lot of Herbert.
Probably. But even then, he's shown that he can catch the ball, and if he is going to get us, if he's going to get 5-6 targets a game, even if it's 3-4 targets a game, I'll take it, because he's still going to get carries. There's no way that they don't run the ball at all.
Right, he's going to get 15-18 carries, right, just like he has been. But the thing is, you know, next week, are they just going to be able to move the ball so well in the Jets that they're not going to have to run the ball 18 times? He's only going to get 10 or 12 touches because they move the ball so easily against them.
But even if they do, that means they're going to be up a ton, and then they're going to use him to kill the clock.
Right. So he's a low-end running back, too.
That's a fair point. A low-end RB2.
But he's somebody you can add right now and fill a spot if you need to, due to an injury, if you just lost CMC and you don't have Mike Davis who is back. Very scary right
San
now.
San Francisco goes on a bye this week. People that have been relying on McKinnon and stuff like that. This is a guy that you could plug in here.
Yeah. So
stuff like that.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but go add Kalen Ballage.
That's the world we're living in right now. How scary is that?
I don't like this.
Nope.
We might not even have to edit this out of the podcast. I can't believe I just said add Kalen Ballage.
I have to say, though, I'm so glad Alex isn't here for this. He'd be going mental on this. He'd be going crazy.
So
he'd be compared him to Kamara.
I don't want to talk about Kalen Ballage anymore. I really don't.
Oh, he's Kamara light.
Oh God. So anyway, Salvon Ahmed.
Ahmed. Yes.
Oh man. He's just another one of those little. He's not little. He's pretty good size running back, but he's just another guy who's getting carries in Miami. They just cut Jordan Howard today.
They did cut Jordan Howard. I was really surprised to see that.
He's interesting. He's only 24. Jordan Howard.
Yeah. I don't think he's done in the league. I think someone ends up picking him up.
Yeah, he's going to get picked up again. He has another 2 years in the league. You know.
Even if it's a backup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just think they were aggravated because they just paid him $10 million
to do nothing.
To do absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing. But Salvon. Yeah. I like Salvon.
I don't even know how to say his first name correctly. You know what? Okay. So
the guy in Miami, we'll go with that.
Breed is obviously not the guy. No matter what happens, Breed is not the guy.
I don't know. Because before Breed got hurt, he was clearly the number two there.
So it does it, but he's never going to be the guy there because Gaskins is back in a week or two.
Gaskins is back in the week. Yes.
So if he's not going to be the guy in the next 2 weeks, Gaskin is going to be back, and he's still not going to be the guy.
You don't see a scenario that if Breed is healthy next week, he comes in and takes this job back?
No.
You think he's played well enough to hold onto this lead role?
Are you talking about Gaskin or
Ahmad for the next week?
Next week, I mean, I don't have the track. I'm not adding. The thing is.
Well, people have been adding Breed and Ahmad. Football?
Like, are you talking just football as a football fan or as fantasy? Because I do not add Matt Breed and start him.
Some people might have to, though.
Add Kalen Ballage. Do not. Oh my God.
Add Kalen Ballage. And we Ballage. Come full circle.
Add Kalen Ballage. Do not add Matt Breed.
That is so awesome. The pain in your face just now is priceless.
I'm happier studying Alex Collins.
So.
Than Matt Breed.
I just wanted to see what your take was on this because I'm at a point where now if you don't own Breed or Ahmad or Ahmed or whatever the hell you want to call him, however you
anybody
say
it, other than Gaskins, I'm not starting.
Exactly. Because at this point, if you're picking him up, it's a 1 week rental and there's better options that you can go get. If you're absolutely desperate and you want to give it a shot, maybe. But I would, Tim said, I would go get
Ballage. If you have no starting running back this week and you need somebody and you're literally, it's either that or start a zero.
Right.
Pick up Ahmed and start him. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm confident enough that he's going to get 10 to 15 touches.
But I would rather go get Harris or Ballage at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, that's to say, if you have the 9th, 10th waiver claim and you need a running back this week, go ahead, grab Ahmed and see what you can do.
That's fair.
But let's go back to the Miami Dolphins, Jakeem Grant.
So, he's not a guy that I'm adding right now. He's interesting. He had a solid day this week. He had 4 catches for 43 yards and a touchdown. It's interesting because Parker's getting a ton of targets right now. He had 7 targets on the week, but he is at the same time, him and Tua just aren't connecting right now. And I don't really know why.
Is anybody connecting with Tua yet though?
That's what I mean.
We can't read what kind of quarterback he is as far as fantasy concerned. So he's putting up good enough numbers to be a fantasy quarterback. But the important thing as a fantasy owner is to learn what kind of quarterback it is.
Right.
So, Phillip Rivers, you know what you're getting.
Right.
He locks in on one wide receiver.
For sure.
He has his tight ends, and he has his checkdowns for his running backs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in over the years, you learn a lot of traits and a lot of things that you see from these quarterbacks and what they typically like to target.
Right.
Alex Smith loves to throw over the middle. You know, Patrick Mahomes, a lot of double moves, deep balls.
Right. He's got the arm for it.
And a lot of trick plays. You know, you know what you're getting and you know what you're expecting. Lamar Miller's, I'm sorry. Wow, why do I keep doing this? Because he was on the TV. Lamar Jackson, it's going to be a lot of tight ends and the occasional deep ball. You know, so we just don't know what kind of targets you're going to get out of Tua.
Right. And it seems like, I guess, we're seeing a little bit of it is that obviously the one they're relying on the defense. So we haven't seen Tua really unload yet.
So if that's fair, because Tua only completed 15 passes for 169 yards this week.
Yeah, and that's another game where he's under 200 yards.
Right. So anybody in this passing attack right now is going to be questionable. I would be cautious starting any of them. But, I mean, the interesting thing is that we're seeing the most targets right now to Grant and to Gesicki right now. They both had 5 targets this week. So, and we weren't seeing that before.
So the thing with Gesicki is not getting the targets in the red.
No, but to me, that tells me that, yes, Tua's taking the shots. He's trying to push the ball down the field a little bit, but he's coming back and just checking down a lot. And that, to me, is what interests me about Grant, is that he may be a guy that you can catch. He's not going to be a guy that probably gets 10 targets and anything like that. But like we're seeing here, 4 for 40, but has the potential where he can break one and go for another 30 yards and get a touchdown maybe week to week. He's that fast, though.
Oh, he's fast. He's the type of guy you get the ball in his hand and reverse or something. You make something. He's a kick returner, punt returner.
Exactly. Especially with Preston Williams out, I think there's a little bit of upside there for him.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm holding on Jakeem Grant. I'm not adding.
No, I'm not adding him yet, but he's definitely a guy I'm paying attention to.
I'm probably not adding the rest of the year. I don't trust it. Unless something happens to Parker, and even then, I'm just still not trusting any wide receivers after Parker now.
It's tough to say, because if Tua all of a sudden turns it on and looks like Herbert, then he's a guy to really consider.
Yeah, I don't see him looking like Herbert this year. I think it's what Miami's trying to do is they're trying to run the ball and they're trying to run the clock, a running defense team and trying to ease Tua into it. If you're going to have this kind of play structure, you should start. Because you're not letting him be a quarterback. You're giving him the reins, but tightening him at the same time.
Yeah.
You're not giving him any slack. You're not letting him run the playbook.
But at the same time, I wonder if it was kind of a thing of that, well, we're winning games basically off the defense anyway, so why not let this kid come in and see what he can do kind of thing.
Yeah, my point is, let's see what he is. Let him throw the rock.
Right. And they haven't needed him to throw the rock either, though. That's the thing.
They haven't needed him, but that's the thing is, Let him throw the rock.
Because he does look like he's dynamic. He's making people miss in the pocket. He's moving. He's made some plays. So it's not like he's not throwing the ball well. We just haven't really seen him open it up and make any massive plays with his arm yet.
Right. I'm out on Grant rest of the season. Jordan Reed.
Jordan Reed is an interesting piece.
When Kittle's out, he's productive.
Right. So obviously last week he wasn't. But it was first week back off IR. He didn't practice at all. Come to this week, he goes 6 targets, 5 catches, 62 yards, 11 points.
In that nasty one-handed catch, picking the ball off the dirt.
That was absolutely filthy.
He's not even running. He's off balance. Right. So while he's still trying to catch his legs and catch his balance, he also just snags the ball like it's a Snickers bar out of the air.
Yeah, like it was nothing. We've always known that he's absolutely ridiculously talented. There's no doubt about that. If he can stay healthy down the stretch.
Yeah, I'm just sick of talking about his health over the last 10 years.
That's always his story. It's always his story.
He always has an ankle or a hamstring or something stupid that's always going to nag him. And
just hope he doesn't end up with another concussion.
Yeah. So redraft.
Redraft for
I'm
sure.
I'm okay with it. Yeah. Because
if you're streaming, I'm taking it all day long.
I'm okay with adding Jordan Reed and streaming him. If you didn't get on the after everybody cut Gronk and you picked him up, if you didn't get on that train,
right?
I'm going with it.
I love him as a streamer.
Yeah. Jameis Winston. This one's interesting.
So this one is
Breeze is going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks.
My guess is at least a month. I think we don't see Breeze until at the fantasy playoffs at a minimum, if at all. There's a very good possibility that he misses most of the fantasy playoffs, too. He's got multiple fractures in his ribs and a collapsed lung. That's no joke, especially with him being 40. It could be a long time before we see Breeze.
And he took himself out of it.
Exactly. So you know he was in a lot of pain. So Winston falls into the best situation he could ever fall into with this team. You disagree?
No. Yes, I do. Yeah. I mean, I'd much rather be throwing at Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and Gronk and OJ Howard Cameron Brate, having Rojo, then having Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, Jared Cook, and then looks like Tre'Quan Smith got really good concussion this week.
Yeah. But I mean, then you still got Kamara.
Oh, yeah. You got Kamara. So my thing is Godwin and Evans are better than Michael Thomas and Sanders to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially for his skill set. Winston's a deep ball thrower. He likes to take risks.
Well, to me, this is an interesting piece, too. For anybody that owns.
Huh? How many slants does he?
Well, that's my thing, is that this is going to be an interesting piece for me. For anybody that owns Michael Thomas, we'll get to see what he actually looks like without a dink and dunk quarterback, because Teddy Bridgewater was a dink and dunk quarterback, and that's why it fit so well last year. So now we're going to see a guy that could open this offense up, and we could see Thomas running some deeper routes now. Or we'll find out that he really is just slant boy, and we know what he is.
So my thing is, a lot of people give Michael Thomas shit about being the guy that just runs slants and outs.
Mm.
It takes some balls to run a slant in the NFL.
No, absolutely.
And I don't think everybody talks shit about Michael Thomas, but go ahead, run a slant and see what Aaron Kendricks looks like staring you straight in the eyes.
Oh, for sure.
Danny Trevathan or Vontaze Burfict.
You couldn't pay me enough. Well, I shouldn't say that.
No, you can pay me exactly what these guys are making. I will take a minimum deal in the NFL to run a slant, get cracked, and then never have to play again.
Yeah.
But
I stopped myself mid sentence.
Yeah. But I wouldn't enjoy it. And no. None of these guys do. And that's the reason why a lot of them don't like to run slants. Why do you think you don't see Mike Evans run many slants?
No, absolutely. But my point is that there's plenty of weapons on this team where Winston can come in and be very good.
Yep.
He's coming off a season. I know he threw the ball a ton last year, but he had 5,000 yards and threw 33 touchdowns. Yep. So it's not like he can't throw the ball.
My thing is, it's interesting because Sean Payton is a very good coach.
Without a doubt.
They have very good coaches, a very good play style, a very good offense there.
Yep.
It's interesting.
I think at worst, he can play. He can at least come close to matching what Breeze is doing at a minimum.
That's a bad way of putting it. At worst, be a little bit less than Breeze.
I think he could be better than Breeze with this team.
No, I disagree. I don't think he can be better than Breeze in any aspect of anything related to football ever in his career.
For fantasy purposes?
Yeah.
Sucks. It sucks, but you can see the possibility where he could be better than Breeze.
I don't like this.
Breeze isn't throwing the ball down the field at all.
Yeah, but that's the thing is you could very well see the same thing from Jameis Winston.
But Winston's always throwing the ball down the field.
Right, but he's also never played on the New Orleans Saints.
No.
He played with Bruce Arians and whatever shit-bum head coach they had before that.
Without a doubt. But
as far as Jameis is concerned, saying he's going to have a better fantasy upside, because then now you're breaking the mold of the offense that they've been running for years.
Which tends to happen when backup quarterbacks come in.
Right, but then you're also, Mike Evans runs a much different route tree than Michael Thomas, right?
That's what I'm saying, is that I think that we could see a different route tree for Michael Thomas. We could see some more. I could see the offense opening up a little bit more with Winston.
It will, but I'm not gonna put on the air that I think he has a higher ceiling than Drew.
I'm just saying I think there's a possibility.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. You're not. I'm not going in that rabbit hole.
Fine.
So let's go back to hill. Let's get back into the waiver wire ads.
Okay.
Let's go back to week one, the number one waiver ad of the week, Nyheim Hines.
Let's not
spend a lot of time on the Colts backfield.
It's so a shit show. This is so disappointing.
This is what I expected, but I expected it with different results. I expected Nyheim Hines to have a big role in this offense.
I hate this.
But I also expected Jonathan Taylor to have a bigger role in this offense.
I'm really hoping that Jonathan Taylor is hurt and they're just not telling us about it. And it's going to be one of those things like Jacobs last year, and it comes out and, he was hurt all year and we just didn't really talk about it. And that's why he's been playing so bad. I'm really hoping for that situation, because none of this makes sense.
The receiving work from Hines makes sense.
No, that's fine. The receiving
him getting
work,
12 carries and Jonathan Taylor getting 7. doesn't make sense.
No, no, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, it just doesn't, like, why wouldn't you be giving these carries to Taylor? And we've seen at the beginning of the year that Taylor was running the ball well. So obviously to me, something's wrong. But if this is what we're going forward here, Hines is leading the backfield in percentage. He clearly led the backfield in touches this week. I don't know.
I'm not trusting a single Indianapolis.
No, guy.
Starting spot that you're going to see me from the Indianapolis Colts is kicker and defense.
Kicker and defense.
I trust Blankenship and I trust their defense.
I agree. I like that. I have both of them.
I didn't get lucky enough to get the defense, but I have Baltimore. But I'm because next week it could be 20 carries for Jonathan Taylor or Jordan Hines or
right. It seems like every week is going to be different at this point.
Watch them go pick up Jordan Howard and just ruin everybody's life.
Oh my God, but that'll be atrocious.
You know, with Taylor only getting 7 or 8 touches a week, it's odd. But yeah. If you need a running back and you want to take a high ceiling, or Hines might be your guy, but again, his floor is going to be, you know, 4 or 5 catches. I have a hard time trusting any Colts players.
No, I'm not touching any of them. In a dynasty point, I guess we can jump to here. Pittman looked great.
Yeah, he's only owned in 10% of league.
Yeah, but like we just kind of finished saying, in redraft, I'm not touching him.
No, because he's
not at all.
Next week it could be the ghost of T.Y. Hilton, or right. It could be.
We've seen this happen with Johnson. I forget what his first name was.
Marcus Johnson.
Marcus Johnson. We've seen him go off a week and then disappear the next week. So that could be the same thing that's going on with Pittman. Yeah. It could have just been his week.
I'm not trusting any Colts players.
Nope. Dynasty, you're excited to see this because obviously we've seen that he's got some potential. But for redraft purposes, I'm not touching it.
Nope. The last guy on the list is LaMichael Perine. Very interesting one here. He is on a bye week this week, so you can wait a week to add him.
Right.
Just something I wanted to touch on really quick to end the episode. They really want to get him more touches. Frank Gore is not the long-term answer there. Well, he very well could be, because this guy's never going to retire. But they've been talking about getting him more touches. He's obviously a little bit more athletic outside the tackles and in a receiving game than Frank Gore. They really want to get him more acclimated in the offense and want to see if he could be their starting running back going forward.
For sure. So just to add to your point, for one, Perine was on a bye week last week. He missed this week played. So he's coming back this week. So he is a guy that you may want to pay attention to this week. But he is leading the backfield in snaps. The last 2 weeks he's dominated. He had 48% of the snaps, and the week before that, 46. So he's involved. They're trying to get him a little bit of work in the passing game. He's definitely
Joe
a guy.
Joe Flacco's not going to check the ball down.
Maybe not, but he's definitely a guy, if you are picking him up and you are starting him, you're really just hoping he falls in for a touchdown at this point. I'm personally going to leave him on the wire. But he is somebody that you should be paying attention to. He very well could take over this backfield.
Yeah, just something they're really talking about adding more touches to him. See what they
do. Right.
But yeah, I'm not starting any of the Jets other than Jameson Crowder.
Mims has looked okay, and he's getting a lot of targets at this point.
Yeah, but he's I'm still be not starting 8, 9 him. Points. He doesn't have that. He hasn't shown a ceiling. So
no.
But that's it for the waiver wire ads. Check in for us. Oh,
I got one other guy I want to touch on quick.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne Gallman.
Yeah.
Wayne Gallman's an interesting guy. They're going on a bye week this week, so this is why I didn't have him in the ads this week. But falls in for 2 touchdowns. He in Freeman's on IR.
He looked good.
Right.
And he looked good.
He looked very good. I mean, he's never going to be anything special, but he's another one of these guys like Balazs, that if he's gonna get these many touches, he had 19 touches this week, and he's fallen, and every game that he started this year, he's fallen in for a touchdown. So with that being said, he's a guy that you may want to pay attention to, because like I said, Devontae Freeman is on IR.
Yep. Yeah, good point. He did have a good week, and he did look good.
Right.
You know, he's no Saquon Barkley, but he did look
good. No, and the Giants as a whole are looking a little better. Yep. A little better. A little better. But for me, that's all I got. You got anything else?
No. You can check in for episode 2 of the week. We're going to be releasing another one this week again. And then, you know, feel free to leave us any reviews or, feel free to leave a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify or anything you can. Any feedback on social media as well.
Yep. It's all appreciated, guys.
All right.
All right, guys. Thanks.